On this week's issue of the Near Coasters podcast, it's a tea time with Chris and Mike. A beer's brewed with tea, of course. A dogfish head's a sour tea. And Stone's green tea imperial IPA. Enjoy tea time, gentlemen. Enjoy.
Let's crack it.
It's always good when you underestimate the beer.
Less beer is not what I wanted to hear. Oh, don't drink that beer. That's for the bugs. Here, have this wine.
This is not a science class.
Hello! And welcome to Tea Time with Chris and Mike.
Yes, welcome.
not so much. But we are doing tea beers this week.
It's not going to be that kind of show.
No.
Tea time.
This is the Beer Coasters podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best in craft beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between. Well, at least one coast and in between this week.
Yeah.
Joining me this week is
Mike from Boston, Massachusetts.
And oh, we're down a coaster. And it's not me this time.
Yes. That's right. We're down a coaster. Yes. Toby is away in Portland, Oregon.
Enjoying.
And hopefully he's having some tasty brews out there. And maybe he'll call in and let us know.
Oh, yeah. Looking at his Facebook.
How the beers are.
Looking at his and Gina's Facebook, they're definitely enjoying a few.
Yeah. Looks like it.
Anyway, for this week's show, we've decided to do a tea theme because we had a couple tea beers lying around. I don't know how you just happen to have a couple of tea beers lying around. These are probably the only two in existence. But the first one that we're going to try is the Baird Ishii Stone collaboration of the Japanese Green Tea IPA.
Ooh.
Yeah, should be interesting.
Hi.
And then, Mike, what's the other one we're trying?
We are going to try a Dogfish Head's Asahi Tea.
Mm.
Also, very a beer with tea in it, among many other ingredients, which we'll get into later.
I'm actually really curious about both of these beers.
Yes, today. And something a little different about this week is we both have both of these beers, so it's kind of going to be like two fermentation conversations, so we both be able to kind of give input on both of these beers this week, which should be nice.
It's a little
tea party.
This is a fermentation conversation.
We're going to start off this week with the Japanese Green Tea IPA. So it's a collaboration between Baird, Ishii, and Stone. Stone being the one that actually brews it. It's an American Double Imperial IPA, a DIPA.
Yes, as it's lovingly referred to here in the Beer Coasters podcast. The DIPA.
Has an ABV of 9.2%, IBUs of 70. Some of the hops used in here, they use American Warrior Crystal hops, New Zealand Pacifica, French Aramis, which I guess is a new hop variety.
That's what they tell me.
And then the Sriracha Ace hops.
How appropriate.
Who else uses those? I mean, I've seen a Sriracha Ace beer.
Brooklyn has a Sriracha Ace.
Brooklyn, that's
that,
right.
That they brew, but there's quite a few breweries. It's very... we talk about some hops being very citrusy. Well, this is seems to be, at least to me, seems specifically lemony compared to, say, a Cascade is more grapefruit. I think Sriracha Ace is more lemony.
So a little lemon in your tea.
Yes, a little lemon in our tea.
And then they use Sencha tea. I guess is a kind of... So an interesting note for this beer, it was brewed by Brian Baird, who's the brewmaster and founder of Namuzu, Japan's Baird Brewing, and Toshiishi, who is a former Stone brewer, from 98 to 01, and founder of Guam's Ishi Brewing Company. And they joined head brewer Mitch Steele to make this beer. And all of the, I don't know, all of them, but the brew was brewed to benefit the Japanese tsunami relief.
Does his name, does it not sound like a 70s cop show? Starring Mitch Steele.
Yeah, exactly.
No, he's a brewer at Stone. I'm going to crack it. How about you?
Oh, yeah.
He actually has to get up.
I actually have to get up.
Let's go to my tiki.
Yeah, you seriously, you got to get an image up on the website of the tiki bottle opener.
All right, so on the pour, nice and golden, slightly cloudy in color.
Yeah, I'm actually getting tiny little pieces of sediment kind of floating around.
It's very cloudy for an IPA. It's kind of unusual. I got about a finger and a half of head. Nice fluffy foamy head that seems to be sticking around quite a bit.
Hmm.
It has that really kind of orange golden color. I really like that color. It always makes me think of like a good orange juice kind of.
Hmm.
Not quite that orange, but
on the nose.
On the nose. Oh, there's some really. You definitely get the lemony, citrusy hops.
Yeah, very zesty kind of citrus.
Yes. It's weird because there's a little bit of herbalness in there.
Yeah.
Ooh. I gotta say, man, this smells really good.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, I'm trying to sit here thinking of how to describe some of the aromas, but maybe it's a little, like a fresh wood kind of smell, like a grassy, woody,
like a mossy kind of.
Maybe that's what it is, kind of mossy.
Yeah. Taking a sip,
yeah. Interesting. I got
very different.
Got kind of an alcoholy tea. On the mouth, but I kind of inhaled a little bit on the sip, and. It's interesting.
You know what's weird is it has... I don't get nearly as much citrus in the taste as I got on the flavor. Nose.
Yeah. No.
It's got kind of a... Like a cantaloupe sweetness to it. Yeah. Like kind of a smooth melon thing going on.
Interesting. It's kind of tough. This one is... I'm having a tough time picking out some of the things to kind of describe as far as flavors go.
I'm trying to think if... Are you picking up any of the tea?
I am. When I first sip, and I got some kind of air in there with the sip, and I got some tea in there. And then I'm getting kind of bits of different things, like a tiny bit of vanilla, but more of like a bitter vanilla, not like a sweet vanilla, not like an oaky vanilla. I don't know. It's weird. It's like a bitter vanilla. And it's really strange to get so much citrus in the nose and take a sip, and then there's no citrus.
Yeah.
You know, not much in the way of citrus flavor-wise.
Right.
This beer to me feels like that 9% alcohol. You know, when I took a sip, it felt like you could tell it had it in
there. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's definitely got an alcohol bite to it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, it's funny that you say bite, because that's kind of what I'm getting in the sips. I'm getting kind of a bite of these different flavors. It's kind of a bitter... It's bitterness, you know? I'm not getting much in the way of sweetness at all. I'm getting some nice sweet aromas, but...
I don't know, I get a little bit of both. I get the bitterness, but I also get some, like I was saying earlier, some sort of... like sweet melon flavors. So, I don't know. This is a tough one. Would you pair it with anything?
Would I pair this with anything? I think this is a tough one. With the bitterness, it can kind of hold up to some, you know, spicier stuff or some, you know, some sharper cheeses and that kind of thing. Maybe like a fish with, you know, like Parmesan crusted kind of baked fish, that something like that would be all right with this beer. It's tough. It's interesting. I'll give it that. And I'm curious to see how this is going to be when it warms up a bit.
Yeah. I was thinking for a pairing, I don't know, for some reason duck keeps coming to mind. Like a roast duck.
Yeah.
Because I think that kind of fatty oiliness would go well with this. I think it would cut through really well.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be interesting. Actually, any, you know, some of the you know, fat of like a fattier cut of steak or something like that would. But you're right. I think the duck is probably a good pairing with this.
All right. So that's the Baird Ishii Stone Japanese Green Tea IPA, product of USA. Ratings: Rate Beer gives it a 94 out of 100. And Beer Advocate users give it a B with nothing from the Allstrom Brothers.
In our rating, you get a last call.
That's right.
Beer news from across the country. This is Hop Topics.
Hop Topic.
So, we're doing kind of a shorter show this week because we, you know, obviously without Toby and two FCs instead of the tasting flights. But we did still want to get a sneak a hop topic in there, and we found one off of our.
We got some shameless self promotion too. Yeah. While we're at it,
off of our little beer coasters. What's it called? The Beer Coasters Daily.
Beer Coasters Daily. Yeah, it's actually like a kind of like an online newspaper that Beer Coaster Toby puts out every day. I think.
Yeah.
Hence the name, but
it's really just a little curated magazine type. Daily that, you know, if you go there, it's got several articles pulled from different sources all about craft beer.
It's used from what is it,
paper.li,
I think it's, and you can actually create your own paper as well. We'll have a link to it. I'm surprised that we don't have a link to it already, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it on the main page of our site so you'll be able to see the Beer Coasters Daily directly from our site.
By the time you listen to this, it'll be on there.
Exactly.
So the article that we wanted to pull actually originates from businessinsider.com, and it's America's 10 biggest beer states.
Number 10, Montana.
Ooh.
Number of breweries, 27.
Nice. And I always like to see the per capita.
Right. It says capita per brewery instead of brewery per capita. I get it. Per capita per brewery is 36,645.
So for every 36,645 people, there's one brewery.
So it's basically to every one small city.
Yeah.
Essentially, because that'd be considered a small city, 30,000 people or more. So
the number nine, I'm actually kind of surprised. Well, I guess I'm not surprised, but it's kind of high up there, and that's Delaware.
I wonder why.
Home to Dogfish Head. So that's obvious why they got
on the
list.
Trying this week?
Yes. Number of breweries, 11. And the capita per brewery is 81,630. So.
Oh, you know what they did too that we didn't see? The barrels, which I still kind of can't really wrap my head around that. But as far as like the amount of barrels, that, you know, production. Anyway.
Well, and even so, it would be tough. It's tough to say, like, all right, so Delaware is number 11 and it brews this many barrels. Yeah, but a lot of that is going to be Dogfish Head, and not exactly. All of it is going to Delaware. You know,
exactly.
Most of their stuff is going out of state. So anyway.
Number eight. New Hampshire. That's right. Number of breweries, 16. Capita per brewery, 82,279.
Who do they?
And big ones in New Hampshire, you got the Portsmouth Brewery, which is basically this big kind of brewery village, in a sense, that I still haven't got a chance to get up to, but I plan on getting up there soon. And then you got like the Red Hook breweries and whatnot up there as well.
Craft Breweries Alliance. Oh. Cool. All right. Number seven. Wisconsin.
Cheese and beer.
Cheese and beer. I mean, their baseball team is named after beer. Yeah. Number of breweries, 72. That's a lot.
Wow.
Capita per brewery is 78,986. Who brews out of Wisconsin? Oh, yeah. Miller Coors.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin. That's right. But then you get some little guys like New Glarus and, Leinenkugel's is part of Miller Coors, right?
Yeah.
Essentially. But yeah, there's a few. Don't forget Pabst, right?
Oh, yeah. The hipster standard.
The hipster standard, that's right. Number six, New York.
New York.
Number of breweries, 59.
That's a lot of breweries in such a small state.
Capita per brewery. We're just talking about Delaware. Talk about small states.
Yeah. But they only had like 11.
Well, that's all they can fit because of their square footage. Yeah. Capita per brewery, 328,442. Right? 442.
59 breweries, but a hell of a lot more people.
Well, there's a ridiculous amount of people, yeah.
Yeah. Number five. Washington State. Number of breweries, 123 breweries in Washington.
Wow.
That's a lot. But when you figure you got Seattle and...
Wow.
The capita per brewery is 54,671, which I think that's the lowest so far.
Oh, didn't we have something with 30,000? But that was because the state was so small,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And you've got, you know, Pyramid out of there, and who else comes out of Washington?
Yeah, Pike.
Yeah.
There's a few. I'm going to say that for every state. There's a few.
There's 123 of them, so.
Yeah. So that's a few.
All right, number four.
Number four. There's some tasty brews that come out of this state. Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
Number of breweries, 118.
You know, it's a
capita per... This, to me, sounds like it's... capita per brewery, 42,620. This one is, I think, pretty impressive.
Yeah, but what surprises me is Washington State actually has more breweries. They have 123 versus 118 in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I can also name, and I don't know, I mean, this may be because I pull an awful lot from them, but New Belgium, Oscar Blues, Avery, Great Divide.
Yeah, you know, Flying that's a good... Dog. Question. I wonder why it seems like, Colorado has
Fort Collins.
A bigger name as far as craft brew goes than Washington, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Because, I mean, I think big craft brew states, and I think Colorado, California, and I know we have, you know, I kind of consider New England as kind of, you know, all six states kind of is one.
Right.
But I think these are three places where you're guaranteed to get some good beer, you know?
And of course, you know, we talked about Wisconsin and what do you call it over there? But then you know, Coors in Colorado.
Right. Well, that's true too. Yeah. That I'm sure that takes as far as takes up a lot of the production.
Yeah.
In barrels. Because it's what, 3.6 million barrels. Number three. No surprise here, folks. Oregon. Some tasty brews there as well. Number of breweries, 121. Capita per brewery, 31,622. Nice. Not too shabby.
And of note, obviously Deschutes being one of the bigger ones. I know Toby was actually tweeting today, or not tweeting, but untapping from the Deschutes brew pub.
Oh, whatever. From the brewery. So yeah, I think I called him earlier today. He said he was at Deschutes. But I mean, you get Deschutes and Rogue and Bridgeport.
Widmer.
There's some good ones.
Yep. So. All right. Number two, Vermont.
Yeah.
Tiny little Vermont. Now, I find it weird that they actually put this as one of the biggest beer states. And I know their capita for brewing is a lot lower, but number of breweries, 21, but their capita per brewing is 29,797.
That might be the lowest, right?
I think so.
So that means there's more breweries per capita than any other state, really, right? Unless, well, I don't know. That depends on what number one is.
Well, I'm sure number one is California, but I haven't looked at it yet. But I'm sure the capita per brewery is a lot higher than that because there's a lot of people in California. Yeah, but then you have, you know, Magic Hat in Vermont. And
really there's a lot of little craft breweries in Vermont. There's a lot of...
Otter Creek, Rock Art. I'm actually surprised that this rated so high, though. Like, really higher than Oregon? I don't know. And the number one biggest beer state...
Of all time!
All time. Or at least
we paid tribute to it last week. That's right, folks. California.
Yeah, shocking.
Number of breweries, 245. But capita per brewery is 152,057.
That's because you've got a lot of people
that means
in California.
There's California could use some more breweries because there's not enough.
Not enough to go around.
For every 30,000 people, I want a brewery, damn it.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how many breweries would be in this country if that was the case?
But 245, man, that's a lot of breweries.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you can add a few of those states up in this top 10 and not even add up to California.
And a lot of this comes from the fact that they not only are there a lot of craft breweries in California, but there's also pretty much all, I think all of the big three have breweries there also. Like I know Miller Coors does. I know InBev does.
And I like how they have Lagunitas for the cap there instead of.
Yeah.
I mean, because there's quite a few they could have had in place of that.
But yeah, I mean, just obviously Stone, which we talk about at length and we're trying tonight.
Yeah.
Yep. You have Sierra Nevada, you have Lagunitas, and then, you know, if we just sit here and name off all of the San Diego breweries, Alesmith, Port Brewing, you know.
Yeah. Ballast Point, Carl Strauss.
Ballast Point, Carl Strauss. No, and there were several popping up even while I was there that I had never heard of, but
yeah, yeah. There's what is it? There's Lightning and Arrow, not Arrow, something to have to do with aviation.
Yeah, opened up over near Miramar. Yeah.
There's a bunch to pop up. I'd love to see all the new breweries popping up, and
I just wish there were more close to me.
Yeah. Yes.
But whatever.
Texas isn't on the top 10?
No.
Oh man.
There's like three breweries in Texas. Maybe more than that, but not much.
There's obviously a big, I don't know, when you look at what the laws are as far as distribution and such and the brewing laws and all, you can kind of see why, you know, why these states are big into craft brew and others aren't, you know. Good example is, you know, a place like Texas as opposed to California, so.
Right, well, you know, and I was reading another little article or something and it was talking about how the big three had a year-over-year decrease of like 3% in profits, while every other segment in the beer industry, you know, the craft beer segment is growing year-over-year. Anyway, I'm in the mood to drink some more beer. This is a fermentation conversation.
Oh, yeah. Now it's time for my tea. Could I have my tea?
Yes, it's my tasting flight. Not really. It's actually another fermentation conversation part deux.
This I want some too.
Yes, Beer Coaster Chris also has this beer, as we mentioned in the beginning of the show. This is Dogfish Head's Asati. This is from Dogfish Head Brewery out of Milton, Delaware. Their website is www.dogfish.com. The ABV on this beer is 9%. The IBUs are a whopping 6.
Whoa.
I'm going to crack it here while I talk about some of the ingredients, because the list is a bit extensive, and Chris is going to get up and walk to his tiki. But he doesn't get that cool sound effect like I do.
That's okay.
So, Sati uses rye malt, German hefe yeast, juniper berries, black tea, cloves, cinnamon, cardamom, ginger, black pepper. Whoa, I just got a big whiff of ginger. Leek leaves, chai tea, cumin, and coriander.
Jeez.
And I'm going to pour a little more aggressively to get a tiny bit more head here, because I'm getting kind of no head. I got like a pinky finger, and only because I poured aggressively at the end here.
I got a lot more. I got like a good two and a half fingers.
Yeah, you do. I see that now.
Same color and
yes,
cloudiness.
Surprisingly enough, almost the same exact color, I would say, just clear compared to...
Mine's...
Maybe yours is colder than mine. Oh, it's a slightly cloudy.
Could be. Mine's pretty cloudy.
But I would... I mean, I can see the carbonation and stuff rising up here, like throughout the glass, where the green tea had this kind of weird kind of cloudy sediment kind of rolling around in it.
I missed it. Did you say this is brewed with a hefe yeast?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah,
it's got the hefe yeast. Rye malt.
Right off the bat.
Hefe yeast.
I got that.
Man.
Right off the bat, I get the banana. Bam.
In the nose, I get all kinds of stuff. I mean, I get like a cinnamon, cinnamon and ginger candy.
Yeah, that cinnamon is definitely there. And that I'm getting the banana from the hefe yeast.
Yeah, like a, it's like a banana bread with ginger, because I'm getting a heavy ginger whiff too. Like,
yeah,
and that cardamom and cinnamon, because to me, kind of cardamom cinnamon, very very similar to me.
I think has got some really good notes in it.
It's got all kinds of spices.
It's
some
got
brown,
kind of a
sugary,
like a,
kind of candy,
like a Christmas vibe going on.
Yeah. Like almost like a, if you did like a Belgian winter warmer, you know?
Yeah.
Taking a sip, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I get ginger and citrus and nutmeg.
Yeah, it's got a very, it's very spicy. And when I say spicy, I don't mean like hot spicy. I mean like lots of spices.
Yeah. We call that, you know, like the nutmeg and cinnamony. Brown sugar. Clove. I just got a big mouthful of clove.
Yeah, definitely a lot of clove in there.
Some honey in the taste, too. Like a honey bread, almost like honey kind of drizzled on bread.
Yeah, it's got a very like chai tea.
That's coming through now. Yeah,
but,
that chai tea is coming through. Because it is. It's all those chai tea spices in a beer. It's very kind of unique that way.
Oh, man, I'm really liking this.
Yeah, I like the... Oh, my goodness. I actually got a whiff again. You know, Toby talks about cola in the beer, and I've never really experienced it. And I don't know what the hell he was talking about, but I just got a whiff of a cola.
Yeah. That kind of caramel...
Mm. That's what it is. It's just that bit of caramel. All kinds of spices jumping off. I'm even... Now I'm getting some kind of... floral, maybe like juniper or something.
Seriously, talk about a complex beer. Like, there's so much going on in this beer.
Yeah, I guess I listed off the juniper berries, and I'm getting kind of a juniper, almost like a juniper flower kind of aroma, and in the taste too, like a flowery water. It's got just the right amount of carbonation for me.
Yeah, you know? yep
where it's not, you know, too little, where it feels like a high alcohol sipper, and it's not too high, doesn't have that kind of, you know, light. For me, it's kind of spot on.
Yeah, it's got just enough effervescence to kind of play with those spices.
Yes. Effervescence, yes. The spices, they bounce off the tongue.
Yes. Yeah.
Getting
if
such
you're going to pair this with something.
Kind of a candy. In the middle, I'm getting very kind of candy. It's like that cinnamon clove kind of candy with that tea. If because I was going to pair this with something, I kind of had an idea of doing like a lamb curry with the like a naan, you know, with the naan bread. But now where this is so, you know, I'm still going to go with that because I think the kind of heat and the sweet, as long as the lamb curry was a little on the spicy side, I'd be very, very curious to how all these spices play off in having a dish like that.
Yeah, seriously, like a curry would be, yeah, that's perfect.
This one's nice. It's complex for sure. Yeah, sweet, spicy. Yeah, if you get a chance, check this one out. And this is one of those that you kind of get, you know, from Dogfish Head at certain times. Actually, this is the time where it's not, it's really not the time to get it, but you may still find some on the shelves. Yeah. And it's the Dogfish Head Asahti. S-A-H apostrophe T-E-A. Hunted says,
so I ran out of smokes and replaced them with tea. Ran out of tea, replaced it with beer. I'm not sure which direction I'm failing in.
What's up, guys? Miss me already? This is Beer Coaster Toby calling you guys from Portland, Oregon, the heart of Beervana. I'm up here with Gina, celebrating our anniversary. We've been drinking lots of fine beers, lots of fine ales. Let's see, Hopworks. We went there yesterday. Really, really good spot. Had a very nice Imperial Red, which I'll be trying on the show soon. We went to Full Sail today. A little stuffy, McCormick and Schmick's, but the beers were good. And we're on our way to Cascade Brewing. Also today we went to Deschutes Public House. Had the 23, very nice. And yeah, I got a little tasty flight. It was good. So we've been drinking it up, soaking it in. And I'll see you guys. Oh yeah, Horse Brass. We went to Horse Brass last night. Had some cask beers. Belmont. Yeah. Belmont Station. Great spot. We got a bottle shop next door. Awesome. So, yeah, we'll see you guys next week. Peace out.
All right, everybody. Last call.
Last call.
That's right, folks. This is the part of the show where we come to the end, wrap things up, give you our pint ratings, move along, yada yada yada. So for for our pint ratings, for our first beer, the Stone Ishii Baird Green Tea Japanese IPA Deepa, Mike, what'd you think?
I really liked it. It was it's interesting. It wasn't quite what I expected, but I really enjoyed it. Like I, you know, it's we try so many different beers, and some like, okay, this is a, you know, this is a brown ale, this is an IPA, and we're sipping it. Okay, this is great. It's better than your average, whatever. This I don't know. It there's something about this that I really like. I'm gonna give it a 4.5. I can't quite give it a 5, and I think maybe just more of on like a technical level, like I feel like, okay, well, you can kind of taste it, it's kind of taste a little bit of the alcohol, and there's like no kind of maltiness that I wanted to kind of maybe have in the background. But besides that, I mean, I think it was a really drinkable IPA, and I like the green tea in the IPA kind of mix was nice. How about you?
Yeah, I have a feeling we're going to be on the same page for both the beers this week.
You know where I'm going with the Dogfish Head already, do you?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I really, really liked the green tea IPA. I'm also going to give it 4.5 pints. It's really tasty. It's got a nice DIPA without being... Sometimes your DIPAs just get a little too over the top with the hops. Mm. And this one didn't. I think it had a good hop character. I really liked the kind of lemony citrus mixed with the tea. I thought it was good. Mm. 4.5. So onto the the Dogfish Head Sa Tea.
Well, the Sa Tea, as soon as we kind of stopped recording, me and Chris were talking about this would be a great beer to kind of bring around the holidays, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas. All these spices with the cinnamon and the clove and, you know, juniper berries and ginger and all this stuff. This is a great beer to kind of take, you know, around the holidays. I'm giving it a five. It's 5 pints to me. It was very drinkable, even though it had all this stuff going on, and even like a candy sweetness in the middle. This is great. I'll buy another bottle of this. And you know, these are the kind of beers that I don't usually, you know, buy several times. But I will definitely bring this to kind of a family gathering around the holidays if. You know, if it's in season, so to speak, because I'm not sure when the Sa Tea comes out. I should probably just pull up the Dogfish Head website here to, see when it's released. But
you can do that while I talk about it.
Yeah, I will. I'll do that.
Two things about the Sa Tea that I sort of came to a realization with. So you talk about, you know, this is something that you would want to buy and take to like Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas dinner or whatever. And I think this is the key about this beer, and the thing that sets this beer apart. It's a great beer to introduce people to real craft beer, because I don't think it's bitter enough to be off-putting. Because I think that's a lot of people's problem with really, you know, with a lot of craft beers is that they're too bitter. Right, so it's not very bitter. It's got some very interesting sweet characters and spicy characters that I think people that aren't used to craft beer could get into. The second thing is that this is a total craft beer lover's beer. Because...
Yeah, that's a very rare find. Find something that does both.
That does both. And one of the reason that I say that is because one of the things, at least for me... One of the things that I really look for in a beer is complexity. And not just complexity, but distinct complexity. It's mm-hmm. one thing to have complexity and it just being a bunch of muddled together flavors. Mm-hmm. It's a whole other thing entirely to provide complexity, but distinct complexity. So you can actually get in there and kind of pick out the different flavors and see a separation. It's like good music. You know, good jazz. When you listen to good jazz and you can sit there and with a good stereo system and pick out each individual instrument and sit there and listen to each note. Same thing here. You pick out each note in the flavors and be able to identify them and enjoy them individually along with how they play off of each other. It's a phenomenal beer. Obviously, I'm giving it 5 pints also. I really, really enjoy this beer a lot.
This beer is actually released in May, so you know here we are. We're getting it, you know, close to what would be considered the end of the summer for some. But if you get a chance to either get some now, hold on to it for the holidays. And why this comes out in May, I have no idea. Because for me, throw the Pangea up to May and bring the Sa Tea down to the September release to have, you know, closer. You know, to the holidays, but that's my opinion. I think that this is a great holiday.
They could totally they could totally market this as a holiday beer if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. very, very interesting, and you're right about the complexity where, you know, it's one thing to have that, you know, a bunch of crap in your beer, but to be able to kind of pinpoint those individual flavors coming out at different times is just, I don't know, to me, that's a five-piner, you know. Dogfish Head is going to hear from the beer coasters about this one.
That's right. So I'm disappointed that Toby wasn't here for this, but
yeah, I'm hoping we're going to have to tell him to find this beer just to try it. And even if he wants to, you know, after the fact, kind of, you know, post a little thing maybe on one of the upcoming week's show so he can kind of give his input on this beer, would be interesting.
Yep. So don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Untappd, and Google Plus. If you want to find us on Google Plus, you just search for, I think you're under Beer Coaster Mike, right?
Yes, I am.
I'm under Chris.
I am Beer Coaster Mike.
I'm under Chris Green, and Toby, I think, is under Tobin Williams. So, yeah, we had a Beer Coasters account, but they gave us the shaft.
So. Yeah, apparently, you know, you still have to have the, you know, quote-unquote, you know, real names. Eventually, they said they were going to come up with like a fan, you know, fan type accounts, but you know, we'll see.
Not there yet.
We'll be back.
But as to the more important piece, actually listening to the show, you can always go to iTunes and search for us in there and subscribe, and also go to podcast.com.
Yeah, and don't forget to check out our website. It's beercoasterspodcast.com. All kinds of stuff on there, including the link to the Beer Coasters Daily, which is a daily newspaper that Beer Coaster Toby puts out. You can email us backwash, too. I know we didn't have that much this week, and I know it's kind of odd the way we've been putting out shows recently, so it's been hard to get kind of backwash on our shows. But email us. Email us backwash. It's backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com. You can also always call in our audio backwash line, and that's 339. Is it 339 backwash without a C?
Yep.
Which is 339-225-9274. You can call us anytime if you're at like a local beer bar or brewery. You can drunk dial us at like 2 a.m. We love that.
Crazy day.
yeah. And also, we have a shop link. You click on our shop link for all kinds of beer coaster swag, shirts and steins and stickers and things. I think we added some pint glasses up there as well.
Yep.
So yeah, check us out.
And tell your friends. Tell your friends' friends. Spread the word about how great the Beer Coasters podcast is.
Yes. Thank you to our listeners. Thank you. We have all our subscribers back and then some. So thank you. We're not quite sure what happened there.
Yeah, our subscription base sunk
like in half.
It's like less. Dropped. It was less than
it was
half.
Less than half.
Yeah.
But now it's like above what it normally is on our average. So yeah, which is thank you. Nice. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And as always, thanks for listening.
Yes. And now a word from our sponsor.
Aces and Ales, premium craft beer bar in Las Vegas, Nevada. With happy hours from 3 to 6 p.m. every day. With an additional happy hour from Monday through Friday from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. That's 50% off all appetizers and selective craft beers. Aces and Ales, wide variety of craft beer on draft and bottles. Make sure you stop by www.beercoasterspodcast.com to print out your free pint coupon. That's Aces and Ales, 3740 South Nellis Boulevard, East Side, Las Vegas, Nevada. All killer, no filler.
That's right. Aces and Ales, all killer, no filler. Support your local brewery, brew pubs, etc. Drink local, because local is fresh.
That's right. And don't drink and drive. You know why.
That's
just dumb.
It is. It's dumb.
And a reminder to all of our listeners.
Listeners.
This is your show.
This is your show. We're just drinking in it. Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, who's clinking? Who's what? Clinking? I can clink.
Yeah, it didn't work so well at the bottom of the glass.
There we go. There's a good ring to it. That was really loud.
Last minute shout-outs.
Well, I want to give a shout out to Beer Coaster Toby for calling in and letting us know how it was up in Oregon. That was pretty cool. And also a shout out to Matt Simpson, the beer sommelier, which I will have some more information about on some upcoming podcast. Hopefully next week I'll have some information.
I'm actually very interested about that information because it could prove that the Beer Coasters podcast was full of shit last week when we when we pounced all over.
That's the only week. Yeah, that's the only week we're full of shit was last week.
About us pouncing all over the fact that the beer chicks were calling themselves beer sommeliers. There may have actually been some truth to that, but we'll find out more soon enough.
Yeah, so stay tuned. I'm going to keep sipping on some of this sa tea.
As am I. See you guys next week.
Peace. Oh, also one more shout out to the Beer Jargon guy for doing the pre-intro this week, introducing the beers. We really appreciate it. Thanks, Beer Jargon guy. Maybe it's a little like